My name is Karen Wright. It is 9:34, and joining me now is my good friend Barb. I'm gonna wait to you say hi to put that on your mic. There we go. Is Barb Lamson joining us? And Barb, boy, you and I are certainly excited now because it's gardening season.
Oh my goodness, it's so exciting! I can't sleep in the morning.
I know you're done.
I have to get up, and I think, oh, I wish that the sun was coming up earlier. I mean, yeah. I'm wide awake. I could use these 2 hours from 5 o'clock on to be out in my garden because the birds are awake. They're singing.
Right. So which we should be too. And yeah, I've noticed that the sun's out longer because I was out till after 8 the other night. It was almost 8:30 and it wasn't quite dark. And I was out putting some deer defeat spray on my tulips and things to prevent them from being eaten up. And and I thought, wow, these days, oh, I love this. Because, you know, I work, so I'm, you know, during the day,
right,
I'm here.
Right, you have to do that. You know, the thing that's really amazing, I didn't plant any tulips last year because I said, it's just a throwaway because the squirrels come in, they dig them up, and then when they grow, if they do grow, if there's anything left, the rabbits somehow get in and they eat them, and then there's voles in the ground. It's just such a throwaway. I went out this morning and I counted 30 different spots in my flower beds where I had tulips coming up.
I see.
So when they were eating, they didn't get them all.
Right. Well, you know what I really noticed? I was out looking at my hosta bed out by the lake a couple days ago, and I could not believe all these little, because, you know, I put pine needles down for mulch, so it's
sure.
a nice, smooth kind of a surface with all of them. All these little round spots everywhere, little round spots. Well, that's where the squirrels have been digging to find up their little acorns.
Oh.
And somebody on the Facebook had said, what is going on in my yard? What are these squirrels doing? And I said, they're looking for where they cached their food from last year, so they're all digging these little things up. And I'm hoping they're not digging my plants up with it, but they're getting their nuts.
Do you know, we saw something interesting. We saw squirrels can be really aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize how aggressive they were until we put something out on the lawn for whoever, you know, the birds or somebody to eat. And two big, big blackbirds sat down, and they started eating whatever this was.
Now, were these crows? I'm thinking you're thinking of crows because they're big.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
They're
because blackbirds are kind of little.
Two.
Yeah.
They're big. And the squirrel comes out from the border where my flowers are, comes out charging at him, and they didn't do anything.
Really?
He went back, he came out charging again, and believe you me, they knew he meant business, and they flew off. You know, I didn't realize they defended their territory.
That's pretty aggressive for a little, you know, because, well, I mean, things like eagles and hawks will eat them, and I guess, wow.
But, so the squirrels are... They're taking care of themselves. And these big crows, they're taking care of themselves, too, because they fly in. We put out some suet, and we put it on the ground. David chopped it up. And, you know, they must have come from blocks around. I don't know if they can smell that suet when it's out in the yard or how they know, but all of a sudden we became the smorgasbord buffet of Rita Road. They were flying in and grabbing their bit and taking off.
So all of a sudden you're the
it was
the buffet.
Yeah, it was. It absolutely was. But it is nice. Both our dining room table in the dining room sits when you eat and looks out on the bay window. Mm-hmm. And the kitchen table in the kitchen does the same thing. So if you're sitting down and eating, you can see these birds coming in. It's so hilarious. And then I was surprised to see on, I believe it was Wednesday morning, I was out in the garden. I saw the most beautiful butterfly.
I did too. I saw a painted lady.
Okay, so what I found, I tried to find it in my bird book, or in my butterfly book, but I couldn't find it. It was orange and black.
Well, I think mine was a painted lady, but
yeah, and it had some white spots on it, and good size, and I was just so delighted to see it there, and you know, it was sitting on a one of the bloodroot plants. So, is there pollen?
Did it look kind of like that at all? Here, I'm showing her a picture on my computer here. Not that one?
Like this one right here.
That's a painted lady.
Yeah. Yep. That's
okay. So Barb has a painted lady. That's what I think I saw too. And I was really surprised because it seemed early to me. But then I realized that's why it's so important that we have early pollinator plants that are blooming.
You know, when I saw it sitting there, I thought, we talk about this all the time, that we have to all get together and get these early plants out so they get pollen and so they get nectar. Both of those things they desperately need. And how fun to see it there, you know, just
well,
doing...
Well, so it just seems so early to me. That's why I was just so surprised,
yeah.
I think.
I didn't know if it was early or not. I went in and got my book on plants and insects and butterflies, and I looked all over. And, you know, when you try to remember the markings on something that's similar to something else, and you start looking in your book, you think, oh gosh, no, I don't know what that was.
Because now I just see another one here that's a red admiral. Could it have been a red admiral? See that one? So we're running around the studio looking at the pictures. Or do you think it was more like the painted lady or the red admiral?
It was more like the painted lady.
Okay, painted lady. All right. Because I was just looking, I thought, well, maybe mine was a red admiral or a, I don't know. Anyway, they're pretty. And I saw moths, a moth as well.
Yes. And we have birds and butterflies, and everything is visiting the water. They must be in need of water. So the regular bird bath, they're flying in there. But I have saucers on the ground in different places, and they come in there and they get a drink. And it's really interesting. We have this one. It's not a bird bath, but it's a big kind of like saucer. Mm-hmm. And we have it out in the front yard. And some bird stepped in there and took a bath in it.
Well, why not? We've got that little pond out back, and they're always in there. You know, sure. That's why you put a big rock in there, and then they can get on the rock, and they give themselves a little bath.
Yep.
And
that's really great to do that. Get a good drink, too. The sides on ours are too high. They need to, they can't reach the water unless we put
a rock.
David's got these things he puts in there.
Well, and that's why when you do a saucer, you put little pebbles in for bees too, because you know, they need something to light on.
Yep. Yeah, it's such a wonderful time of the year. It's so exciting because there's new things going on all the time.
Well, I have gotten some compost and some raised bed garden soil, and I have been refreshing my raised bed gardens. I will be planting this weekend some onions, some peas, some radishes, mm-hmm. and things like that because the soil has warmed up. Oh, I was going to look at the temperature. You know, mine are raised beds, so they're actually a little warmer than the right directly on the ground. So let's see. What does it say? Did you look at? I can look it up now from the Waseca Center for the Agricultural Utilization Research
and Soil and Outreach.
Yeah, let me see if I can find the temps here. Talk amongst yourselves, and I'll find it.
Well, I think the soil is nice and warm. I've been crawling around in it, and it was great to get the moisture. You know, you have to when it rains. Especially, we got quite a bit of rain. You have to stay out of the garden and just sit
right
on
now,
the grass. And
it's too wet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It we took on a lot of moisture.
Well, it says for April 12th. Is that? Yeah, that's today.
Yeah.
So this morning, the temperature at the minimum temp was 41. The max soil temp at 4 inches was 48. So between 41 and 48 degrees, which is getting.
Yeah, 50 would be a little better, but
don't be doing 60, tomatoes and peppers or the warm things. Those that would be a no-no.
They'd want 60 degrees.
Yes.
For, yeah.
But
yeah.
The cool weather things like the peas, the beets, the onions, the what else?
Garlic,
radishes.
Oh yes. Do you know, talking about radishes, we made a mistake in that new.
The cold frame?
Cold frame
that
Dave built.
Yeah.
We were trying to grow radishes. It gets too warm in there.
Oh, it's too hot because they like it cool. Oh,
exactly. Don't put your radishes in there because all you do is get a bunch of leaves going and nothing underneath.
You know, that's interesting because I think it was last week that I told you that sweet alyssum, I read on the package it said, you know, likes temperatures 55 degrees or below to germinate. Well, with my other seeds that I start inside, I'm using a heat mat, which makes them at least 60 or more degrees.
Sure.
So I put most of them, I just thought, well, okay, well, you don't get a heat mat then. You're just going to be in the room. And then I accidentally put a part of them on the heat mat, which was too warm, none of them germinated. So they did not like that heat.
Okay.
So, I mean, the same with radishes. I mean, yeah, they germinated, yeah, but they just bolted and it made no roots that you
that's
wanted.
That's what we got.
Okay.
Yep. We got lovely leaves and that's it.
Well, you can eat them as, I suppose, greens, maybe?
I think they'd be very peppery.
Oh, yeah.
Just look at what the root is. The root itself is quite peppery. True. But, you know, we were over St. Peter yesterday to do some things, and we stopped at the health food store. And, of course, they had organic radishes, and they were beautiful. They were so expensive.
Were they?
I can't even begin to tell you what they were. I instantly pushed it out of my mind. I would not spend that kind of money for radishes.
But, you know, that's a thing with a lot of food nowadays, is the cost is going up. And, you know, you and I know the work that goes into it as well.
Yes, exactly. Radishes, and such a short crop. You know, well, you only have about 30 days, and then you, if you didn't get them up in that time, you know, that's it. Then you got to start another crop.
So that's why we encourage you to grow some of your own things, because, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Even if you can use containers, Karen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of things now are being hybridized, so they are smaller, so they are made for container gardening.
Yeah, yeah. Just take a look around and make sure. You know, when you read the label, you educate yourself about this plant. You think you know everything, but you don't. I did read on a label, it said, dig, drop, and done.
Okay.
I guess it was the lily bulbs I was reading.
Oh, okay.
Dig, drop, and done. Not quite. Improve the soil, please.
Well, yeah, but see, now you were at the Master Gardener education thing last Saturday, mm-hmm. which Grant and I presented on lilies. And the thing is, you can't just go anywhere and dig, drop, and done. You have to make sure that soil is well draining, because like with lilies and other things, if it isn't draining, they're all going to get root rot and die.
And actually, they also need full sun.
Yes.
You can get by with a little bit of shade, but if you keep them in full sun, you'll do even better.
Unless they're martagons.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Yeah, we learned a lot of great things at that Master Garden event. They had Brandon Miller. He's a professor from the University of Minnesota, and his expertise is trees. And he talked about how we're going to have to be using different varieties of trees than maybe some of our natives, because our area is changing so much in terms of the climate.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. After that meeting, I went over and visited with my friend, and I said to her, you know, I think you have a tree across your roof. That was on Saturday. And sure enough, we went out and took a look, and she did.
What was it?
It was a big tree, a shade tree. It had come from the ravine, and it wasn't on the edge. It was down a ways, but you know how big those trees get? And it came right across.
Was it a hackberry, or which one was it?
I'm not sure what it was.
Okay, because that was one of them that they mentioned that is a good one to plant. And some of the others I never recognized.
So our extension agent, I called him, Shane, and he went over and looked. And it was all girdled and eaten around the bottom by carpenter ants.
Oh, no.
Carpenter ants can really be devastating.
I found one in the house last night crawling across the floor.
You know, I went and looked it up, and they will seek a home in your house, especially when it's getting colder. So be careful that you don't get them. I mean, they eat wood.
Well, I'm going to have to find them because, you know.
Yeah, right. But I was so surprised.
So is the tree dying then, I assume, or if it's girdled?
Is it what?
Dying, because if it's girdled.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's dead.
I mean, it fell on the house.
Oh, it did fall on the house.
It totally girdled at the bottom.
Oh, no.
And Shane said it was an education for him. He's our wonderful extension agent who he comes out and looks at things and is very knowledgeable. He said every time he does something like that, it's an education for him, too, as well. So he likes to be firsthand and see what's going on.
And, you know, that's a great thing about our extension agent here in Blue Earth County. You know, I can't speak for other counties, but he is willing to come out and look and to assess. So if you've got some sort of disease or something going on in your yard, he is willing to come out. And, yeah. You know, if he can answer it over the email, he will. But yeah. We are really blessed to have someone like him in our county.
Yeah, we are. I agree. He's just so nice. And you can just talk to him on the phone. You can get answers to questions just like that. He's extremely knowledgeable. But like he said, every time he goes out on a call, it's an education for him, too.
Well, you and I, everything's an education kind of for us, too.
Yeah. It's like all the rest of our lives.
One big experiment. Hey, this is something that is taking place tomorrow. It is called the Future of Southern Minnesota Lakes. It is being put on by ISG. That is the engineering company here in town. Mm-hmm. And it's a conference that's going to be talking about all sorts of things related to creating a healthy environment around our lakes. And it is, it's at the Downtown Civic Center in Mankato. So mm-hmm. They call it the Mayo Clinic Health System Events Center. And I'm trying to find the details here. I need new glasses, Barb. It is, here we go. I'm trying to find the details for you here. Well, it'll be downtown, and just let me find it here in a second.
Okay, okay. That's something that you may not live on the lake, but we all love our lakes, yeah. And we all need to help take care of them and ensure that they'll be there for the future generations.
Yeah, hang on. I should have it here. Okay, so it's the ISG. It's tonight, actually, is the first thing they have. Do you know who Ron Shearer is? He's a TV guy who talks about the outdoors and things like that. Ron Shera, I should say, he's doing a fireside chat tonight. What is a healthy lake? They're having an expert panel tonight, and that is at, I'm looking for the schedule here. All right, so Ron Shera is tonight. It says he's the host of the popular Minnesota Bound show. You won't want to miss an opportunity to mingle with fellow attendees, enjoy some drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Sorry. And so the social hour is from 5 to 6 p.m. tonight in the reception hall at the Civic Center, and the fireside chat with Ron Shera, 6 to 8 p.m. But then the day-long, it's called the ISG, the Future of Southern Minnesota Lakes Conference, 2024. Here it is. On Saturday, registration is from 8 to 9 o'clock at the Civic Center in the Banquet Hall. They'll have morning sessions that go from 9 to noon, and they've got a lunch in the Banquet Hall. They have afternoon sessions as well. So there's a bunch of great presentations for this put on by ISG, which is it's a local engineering company. They're doing a lot of the work for Lake Washington and other lakes around the area to create things that will make it better for the environment.
Well, you know, you don't have to own property on the lake to be concerned. You want to be sure that you get out there and find out what the rules are and what the concerns are for the lakes and how well the lakes are doing. You know, I hope that people are getting better about when they are on the ice in the winter and when they have their fish houses out there, that they're not putting contaminants in the water and garbage in the fishing hole that they've been fishing in. That's just unbelievable.
So I did find it. I was trying to find just the schedule here. So at 9 o'clock, the Future of Southern Minnesota Lakes Conference there's a welcome from a watershed planner from ISG, Sarah Bozer. And at 9:25, it's the conference year in review. They're having environmental practice group leader from ISG, Paul Marston. And he's spoken to our Lake Washington Improvement Association. He's got a lot of interesting facts and things about the lakes, and then understanding your lake. If you're a first-time attendee, they recommend attending this. It's called Understanding Your Lake with Julie Blackburn. It's an introductory session that provides an overview of the conference's background and purpose for first-time attendees. And then at 10:10, they'll have an expert panel talking about the components of a healthy lake. So that should be really interesting. And then in 11:25, developing your lake management plan. So this
is all at IS.
This is all tomorrow as a part of this conference. So it's an all-day conference.
And it's at the Civic Center.
Yeah. So this developing your lake management plan gives you tools and data available for developing a management plan to make a better lake.
Do they charge for it?
I think there's a very small charge if there is. I think it's, let me check. And then there's the management of aquatic invasive species plant varieties, individual lawn landowner's scale implementation, project. So there's just things for everybody. There's about water testing as well. How do I register? Register now, it says, to go online. It's ISG. And, I don't see the charge on there. If there is, it was really small, if I recall, like $10 or something. But anyway, it's a good thing. Go tomorrow.
It sounds like it. Yeah. So this is going to start at 9 in the morning.
Registration at downtown in the Civic Center. And actually, it says 8 a.m. is registration, and then 9 o'clock is the start till 5 p.m. in the banquet hall. I'm going to try and go as much as I can, but our boys have an afternoon recital, so I'm going to have to bug out a little bit. But
I think
it should be a really great session.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
And, you know, anytime you can learn more how to make the world a better place, I think we should all do
it. Exactly. That. You know, there are so many laws concerning what you can build on the lake and who can build and where you can build, whether it's commercial or residential and that. And it's good to find out because I remember one time at the lake, we had people, you weren't allowed to build so close to the shoreline. And they went ahead and they built anyway. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, this is illegal. We all know this is illegal. You can't do that. And he said, do it now.
And ask for forgiveness later.
And ask for forgiveness. And you know what? So we went to the planning board meeting. This was another county. And that is exactly what they did. And the commissioner said, he said, well, what can we do? We can't make him move his house, his cabin off from there now. And that was exactly what he did. And I said to him, you know, you shouldn't be a commissioner. You should have guts to say to them, you're going to have to move that thing off there.
Exactly.
This doesn't work. Well, this is for the future.
Right now, there is a legal case on Lake Washington. There is a folks who did the exact same thing. They put concrete, we call it the ramp, because it's a concrete ramp built down to the lake. So everything that flushes down pollutants and everything goes right into the lake. Yep. And, you know, you really, if you needed to apply ahead of time, and they would said, okay, this is what you need to have, so much impermeable surface, so, you know, and certain types of plants and protection so you don't pollute the lake. But they did it. And then later it's like, well, we'll just ask for forgiveness kind of thing. And now it's a case in court that I understand. But, you know, I doubt that they'll do anything. They're going to say, what do you do, take all this concrete out? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You would hope that they, too, would see that so many people are doing that. When you go to the lake, it's not like your residential house in town where you can just, there's no one watching over it. The lake is quite different. That's a body of water we share with everybody and for future generations. So if you see someone that's
report
breaking
it to the county,
law,
yeah.
Yeah, do.
And part of it was the commissioner agreed too. There was a commissioner that was kind of like, look the other way.
Yeah.
And that's really frustrating. Yeah.
Oh, don't like that.
I don't either. So be kind, be good. Hey,
yes.
Barb, I brought you something.
Hey, let's talk about that. You know, I love lilies. And last weekend, when the Lily Society was having their bulb sale, you sent your trusty agent,
Jeff, to work at it.
Yes, yes. And
he brought back some bulbs. And so it was a great sale. Barb, you know, it sold out within maybe 40 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because these are such great bulbs. So that's why you join societies like that, if you want first choice,
sure,
your best choice,
sure,
the most widest variety. So I brought you a bulb called...
It's Mount Aspiring.
Yeah, and it's a newer...
I love the name.
Yeah, it's a newer introduction, and it's one of those that's shorter bulbs. It's a Lilium, 20 to 22 inches, and it's pure white.
I saw the picture. I love it. I have never had a pure white lily.
Oh, well, see, then there you go.
It's great. I have a spot. I can just see it already in my mind where it's going to go. So,
and now's the time to plant that kind of thing. So
yes,
bulbs.
Improve the soil.
Good drainage.
Right. Bone meal.
Yes.
Yep, right.
And water them
put
in.
Put up a stake.
Yes.
You may even have to put a cage around it. You never can tell in your yard if the squirrels are going to get it or if something else is going to be there digging.
Deer and things like the tender shoots that come up. So this is the kind of thing where I, like you said, put something around it, or I will immediately, when things start to poke up, I'll put my spray on, my deer defeat stuff. Because once they realize that they think, well, there's nothing here to move along. But I'm going to be planting things, some of my bulbs outside, the lily bulbs that I got at the sale.
Right.
I'm not going to put out my elephant ears or things like that because that's tropical. But what other things can we put out now, like gladioles and... Or would you wait with those two?
I would wait a while yet. Because, I was looking at my notes. We have had snow into the end of April, and sometimes even May can be very cold. So it isn't so bad that it isn't the soil that I'd be concerned about. I'd be concerned about these frosts that we still get during the month of May at night. That can be a real killer for these tender plants. So unless you want to be out there covering things up and uncovering them in the morning, I would say just wait a little while yet.
I might start some things in pots too inside just to get them going.
I think that's a good idea. That's one way to, stay up and you don't get so far behind. And then the other thing is, find a spot, mark it, and then improve the soil and get everything ready. Get a cage ready for it. It's like anything that you're going to add to your home. You have to get ready for it. You have to get the space ready and write in your journal or write on your calendar. Either way, however you do that to record things. It's good to know when you plant something. Next year you will have forgotten when you did this.
So, I always think that, I'll remember that.
Yeah, right. So, yes. I am really surprised. I planted some Asiatic lilies last year for the first time.
Okay.
And they're that, I'll have to look up the name. It's black, like Black Beauty. They are so dark. So do you have those, Karen?
I've got some called Landini that's almost black.
Maybe
I think I've got some Black Beauty and some. Yeah, I've got a bunch, because Grant seemed to be attracted to those very dark lilies.
Yeah.
So we've got, yeah.
Yeah, so I won't give you a bulb then.
Okay. Well, I've got 100 still bulbs, so
yeah, right.
I don't even know.
That's now I've got two, so now I've got this white
and a black
mount aspiring, and I've got my Black Beauty, and so I'll have to work on that.
Now, that reminds me, put this down, on May 18th is the Blue Earth County Master Gardeners Plant Sale, Barb.
You
and I will be there, and I might put some of these bulbs, I got a bunch of extra bulbs from the sale, into pots, because you can grow some lilies in pots, and I might get those started for the sale, because I got a bunch of them. And
that's a great idea.
But I encourage people, this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful program. We're going to have it at the Mankato Curling Club this year, Saturday, May 18th. It's noon to 1 p.m., or 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it's the kind of thing where you can get lots of local folks plants. And
hardy.
And I have split some of my salvias. I have to wash the roots, for jumping worm protocol and repot them. So I'm doing that. I've got some elephant ear, and I know you have some plants that you started too.
Well, I was afraid I wasn't going to have anything because I have that red autumn mum.
Yeah.
And I'm just absolutely loving that plant.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's so hardy. And after I bragged about it, it didn't come up. And then we got the rain and it came up.
Yeah, I think we just be patient.
And I had a huge ring of it. And I thought, these are all individual plants now. I'll just dig them, put them in pots and take them. But they're very small yet.
Okay.
They've just come through the soil. And I didn't realize that mums were so slow.
Yeah, they are.
They're much slower than the other plants, for sure.
Not as slow as hardy hibiscus. They won't be up till June. So if you've planted because a lot of people think that they've lost them, just wait.
I did lose my, I didn't replace it.
I'll give you one.
Oh, great.
I've got babies. So.
There we go. Yeah, that's great.
All right. Anything else? We're out of time, but.
I have a beautiful double blood roots.
Ooh.
And they, the single blood root, that's nice. And it goes in several places in my garden, but the double really makes a whammy, whammy. It's just, it grabs your attention. So
yeah, go out in the woodlands now because you might see a lot of those spring bloomers.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, the violets. The violets are coming up in my yard all over and they're blooming.
Oh, good.
And this is the native one. So I hope the bees like them.
Well, I hope so, too, and those butterflies we've been seeing.
Yes, yes. If they were there, that's a good sign.
All right. Thanks, Barb.